Thank you for tuning in to KCNI Public Affairs. My name is Jeremy Scheip, and we are joined by Bob Evnen, who is the Secretary of State. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
How are your travels? I'm assuming in some way, shape, or form you came down Highway 2 during some part of your journey here. Did you encounter some construction?
We came from Ord, and so in order to get to the station, we were on Highway 2 for approximately 150 feet.
Yeah.
But I think we will be going through it, and okay. It's good to see they're making good progress.
They are. Yeah, it's a beautiful stretch of road. It's nice and smooth, and if you were fortunate enough to not have to experience it before, you probably would have had to check your alignment after you drove on it before, but yeah, it's looking good now.
There's a lot of road improvement going on across the state.
There is. There really is, and that's wonderful. We appreciate it just from the traveling standpoint, obviously, but just kind of makes life easier. One less thing to think about.
It's not too convenient while it's underway, but the results are really terrific.
Yes, certainly are. Speaking of travel, you've been doing some traveling recently as well. Talk about your trip to Kenya, and I guess just kind of give us an overarching idea of what was accomplished or what you were seeking to accomplish, and then kind of what came out of that trip, if you would.
To begin with, the Secretary of State has the statutory responsibility to promote international trade and an exchange of education and culture on behalf of Nebraskans. So our trade missions, our international trade missions, are part of the responsibility that we have to promote international trade, and that's a statutory responsibility of the Secretary of State in Nebraska. So in September, we were in Kenya the first week of September. This was our third trade mission to Kenya, and we have developed a very strong positive relationship with the Kenya government and also with businesses and ag interests within Kenya. Kenya is a strong economy. The country has a very strong economy. The president of Kenya has visited Nebraska. He was in Nebraska in the spring of 2022 before he was president, when he was the deputy president, and he really loved it here. He really enjoyed himself. He is a maize farmer himself. He grows corn. Later that year, in August of 2022, he was elected president. We were on a trade mission to Kenya in the fall of 2022 after he'd won the election, and he made it very clear as we met with him again. And he made it very clear to us that he was interested in corn from Nebraska. They had a big problem in Kenya that lingered, and that is that they had a multi-year drought that really resulted in a tremendous malnourishment of Kenyans, particularly in northern Kenya, and also the loss of livestock. The last count that I had when we were there in September was that over the course of this drought, Kenya lost 2 million head of livestock to starvation. Can you imagine? 2 million head to starvation. So they're very interested in corn, and he made clear, the president made it clear to us, he wants corn from Nebraska. And so we continue to work with them. There has been a restriction against GMO corn that he lifted. He lifted almost immediately after he was elected in 2022. And then almost immediately after that, lawsuits were filed against us. And those lawsuits have been working their way through, and they're almost done. So soon we're going to be able to begin shipments of corn to Kenya. Yellow corn for human consumption, white corn for livestock. But they also are very interested in distillers' grains. And we presented distillers' grains to them as a livestock feed supplement. They'd be very beneficial. They're interested in improving the way that they feed their cattle. And so we have a lot to offer them on all of these things. They also need our ethanol. So on this latest trade mission, we took representatives from the ethanol industry. We took livestock nutritionists. We had irrigation technology experts. We had the past president of the Nebraska Corn Board. We had the current president of the Nebraska Corn Board. So we were assembled into this trade mission, and we also met again with President Ruto, the president of Kenya. And President Ruto is pretty pleased with Nebraska. We've been there three times. He recognized that. He complimented us and praised us for returning to Kenya. And this results in a business environment for Nebraskans that want to do business in Kenya that's very positive. In Africa, you can't do business unless you have the concurrence of the government. And in Kenya now, the Kenya government, the national government, and also county governments are very favorably disposed towards Nebraska. They really like us. And that's the culmination of 3 years' worth of effort. Now, our irrigation people are going in there. We have, of course, you know that we have the most effective irrigation companies in the world are headquartered in Nebraska, and there's a large market for them down there because the president is committed to developing 1 million acres of what is basically desert, arid land to development for crops. They've already worked out, they have about 25 circles now. They feature their several of those have Nebraska irrigation companies equipment, and it's just making the desert bloom down there. So we have a good market for irrigation. We also have a good market for ethanol. They need ethanol. They need ethanol for a variety of purposes. But one of the things they're going to be doing in the next few years is requiring that ethanol be added to their gasoline. And they cannot manage all the ethanol that they need. They already have to import ethanol. So our ethanol producers have a good potential market there. And we had ethanol producers on this trade mission. They also need distillers grains, which is, of course, a byproduct, a co-product of ethanol. And so our livestock nutritionists who were with us on this trade mission were able to feature and highlight and discuss distillers grains as an important feed supplement as they try to improve their cattle feeding operations. So this is the whole span of things that we were doing when we were there during that very packed first week of September in Kenya.
And so you were there a week. That was going to be my question, how long you were there. And obviously, sounds like a lot has been accomplished each time you've been there. And now things are kind of maybe on the brink of being able to get kick-started a little bit. And I think that it's easy for people to see a trade mission as, kind of just a discussion of one singular item. But it sounds like there's a lot of moving parts here. It's not just simply corn. It's the byproducts of it, it's ethanol, it's irrigation. So it sounds like there are a lot of moving parts each time that you're a part of those conversations.
Well, there are a lot of moving parts if you're going to grow corn. And there are a lot of moving parts when you talk about harvesting corn and where does it go and what do you do with it. So we're trying to cover the waterfront, and they really are looking to us for guidance. And I think Nebraska has tremendous opportunities there.
Great. Well, it sounds like all very positive things moving forward there. Any other trips to Kenya planned that you know of right now? Certainly, I would imagine you'll be going back, but has a date been set?
No, there's no date set for another trip to Kenya. It wouldn't surprise me if we go back. We had great interest expressed to our delegation from counties. There are 47 counties in Kenya. They're like states, and they have governors. So we visited two of them at the request of those states, those counties, and they're very interested at the county level in doing business with Nebraska. So I think that there's lots of follow-up to be done. There's lots of opportunities, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if we return to Kenya down the road.
Great. Sounds great. Well, some other things that I kind of wanted to touch on here at when we had you in the studio. You were recently selected as treasurer for the National Association of Secretaries of State If you could just kind of maybe explain to our listeners a little bit about what it means for Nebraska specifically to have you serving in that role. You kind of talked at the beginning of our conversation about your obligations in your position. This just kind of backs that up a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. It is humbling, and I'm very gratified that my colleagues across the country have the confidence in me to have elected me treasurer of the National Association of Secretaries of State. This is a progression, so in a couple of years, all things being equal, in a couple of years, I would become the president of the association. And here's an interesting thing about that. At the time when I am scheduled, at least, to become the president of NAS, the National Association of Secretaries of State, Deb Fisher is a senior member on the Rules Committee, the Senate Rules Committee. Our Senator Fisher is a senior member on the Senate Rules Committee. And so she will be in a senior position in that Rules Committee at the same time that I'll be the president of NAS. This provides us with an opportunity to have really a direct relationship with the U.S. Senate. The Rules Committee is the committee that really deals with voting and elections. And so this is going to provide us with a really great opportunity to talk with the U.S. Senate about the sort of help that we need and the sort of interference that we don't. And, you know, I have a close relationship with Senator Fisher. When she first ran for the U.S. Senate, I was her campaign treasurer. I've known her for many years. So this really provides us with a great opportunity to influence national policy concerning elections for the good.
Great. And speaking of elections, that was the other kind of general topic that I wanted to touch on. Another of your duties in your position is getting people to go out and have their voices heard in the polling place. Kind of talk about that a little bit, and kind of, I guess one of the main subjects that people talk about is, you know, election security while also getting new voters into the booth as well, and kind of striking that healthy balance between those two sides of things. I'm guessing that would be a main part of your job as well.
Last week, we had National Voter Registration Day. And for your listeners who are going to be 18 next year, we're going to have a statewide election next year. If you will be 18 by Election Day in November of 2026, then after the first of the year, you can register to vote. And I would encourage your young listeners to register, consider registering, and to go ahead and register to vote. It's not just a duty. It is a duty. It's an obligation of good citizenship. But it isn't only that. It's also a pleasure. It's really because you can go into the voting booth and exercise the privilege of voting a secret ballot. It is something that people have fought and died for. It is our representative democracy, our republic in the United States, is unique in the history of humanity. And I think it is important for every one of us to go participate in our representative democracy. So, if you're not registered to vote and you're going to be 18 by Election Day in November of 2026, after the first of the year, Happy New Year, go register. So that's one part of it. The Secretary of State is the chief election officer of the state. Under the U.S. Constitution, the conduct of elections is committed to the state legislatures. It is under the U.S. Constitution, it is the state legislatures that establish the rules for voting. The legislature of Nebraska passed a big bill called the Election Act, and it's been on the books for many, 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 many years. Under the Nebraska Election Act, the Secretary of State is designated as the chief election officer, who's required to implement and enforce and interpret the Election Act. So this is, of course, a very important responsibility in a representative democracy like ours. Keeping our elections safe and secure and accurate is an absolute fundamental bedrock requirement for our representative democracy to survive and flourish. So we take this responsibility very seriously. We have in place in our state many measures to assure the security of our elections and their accuracy. And I'll give you a couple of examples. In the month before every election in Nebraska, every statewide election in Nebraska, every single ballot counting machine in the state is checked three times for accuracy. Three different sets of ballots are run through these machines, every single ballot counter in the state, in the month before each statewide general and primary election. And that's done to check the accuracy of these machines. Then after the elections, there is an audit, a post-election audit. Let me just say that in the last legislative session, there was a bill that I very strongly supported, and it passed, and the governor signed it, that calls for observers to watch these tests of the ballot counters. And also to watch the tests, we also run two mock elections in the month prior to every statewide general and primary election. So this bill calls for county clerks and county election commissioners to notify the political parties prior to these logic and accuracy tests being performed so that the parties can send a representative to observe it. And I really strongly supported that because I think it's very important for people to be able to have a look at this process as it's going forward, to have the parties there, representative from the parties there, to have a look at this process as it's going forward. So that's that will be in effect in our 2026 elections. After the election is completed, so that's all pre-election, logic and accuracy testing. Post-election, we do an audit. After the election in November of 2024, we performed an audit. And this is an audit where there are hand counts of ballots in 10% of the precincts across the state. And, you know, for counties that have only one precinct, that's the precinct that's counted. For counties with more than one precinct, then the precincts are selected using a random numbers table. They're selected and announced after the polls close. So nobody knows until after the polls close, except if you only have one precinct in your county. Then we designate also after the polls close three races that we want to have hand counted. Now, that's all done within a week or so after the polls are closed at the election. That was after November, the election in November of 2024. Across the state, in all 93 counties, there were hand counts of ballots. We hand counted about 70,000 ballots. Of those 70,000 ballots that were hand counted across the state, there were discrepancies from the machine count in seven ballots. That's 10 thousandths of 1%. Four of those seven discrepancies were accounted for because the voter marked the ballot too lightly to be read. The machine couldn't read it. The ballot was marked too lightly. Now, every single ballot in the state of Nebraska carries the following instruction. Darken the oval completely. And, of course, 70,000 of their friends and neighbors were able to follow this instruction, but these four people were not. And I asked myself, what happened there? Why did this happen? And the best I can come up with is that they wanted to vote for this guy, but not very bad. And this is just, that is the way it works. So that's four of the seven. The other three we think were misfiled. And but even if you take all seven, that's 0.1% out of the 70,000 ballots that were hand counted, three races from each ballot. So we do this audit, again, to check on the accuracy of the machine counts. And they're just very, very accurate. So these are just a couple of things that we do to assure the security and the accuracy of our elections in Nebraska.
All very interesting. And then, like you said, that new part of it starting in 2026 as a result of that bill that passed too. So great. I guess my last question is just kind of a very broad question. So take it and run with it, whatever direction you want. What are some things that you see on the horizon that you yourself want to accomplish or you want to see accomplished along with your office's help?
Well, in the election arena, election security is not static. It's not a one-and-done deal. It's dynamic. And you constantly have to take a look at what sorts of challenges are there out there. There are a couple of things that I would like to do. I really want to tighten up early voting procedures for drop boxes, and I want to see legislation passed that helps to control ballot harvesting, which is something that opens up when you have early voting where you can drop things off in a box or you can mail them in. So that's something that I'll want to be pursuing. The other thing is that we have statutes in Nebraska that prohibit foreign money from being spent on candidates or on issues, that is, you know, initiatives and referendums. There are already prohibitions in Nebraska law against foreign money being spent on those things. But what we have found is that there has been foreign money indirectly spent on initiative campaigns over the last three cycles. And I want to work to tighten up our election laws to prohibit not only direct expenditures, but indirect expenditures as well. So we're working on legislation now to tighten it up. We should not have foreign money spent on our elections in Nebraska. That's wrong. It's contrary to the law. It's wrong. And I want to beef things up so that we can make sure that we shut it down. The other thing that I would mention is that we have a whole business services function. And this is where businesses register with the Secretary of State's office. If they have, when there's lending where personal property is pledged as collateral for lending, then we take the filings that provide notice of those liens, if you will, those security interests in loans. We are in the process of completely revamping, rehabbing, really replacing our business services systems. It sounds like a really dry, uninteresting thing, but it's not. It is absolutely critical. You will not have capital move. You can't have lending in free markets unless people know who owns what, unless lenders know who owns what. And this is one of the problems in the third world. So it is vitally important to the movement of capital in a free market that we have these records, and it's the Secretary of State of Nebraska who keeps them. So we are in the process of replacing our computer systems, our information technology systems. It's going to be more robust. It's going to be easier for users, easier for filers to come in and file the documents that they need to. And this is something that we're in the middle of, and this is something that I intend to see to a successful conclusion. It's a critically important function. This is kind of behind the curtain. People don't see it, but it's very important. And I'm going to see that through to a conclusion, a successful conclusion.
All right. Great. Well, all wonderful information. And I know that there's so many different things that we could continue to talk about, but hopefully we hit many of the topics that you wanted to kind of discuss here. Ways that people can keep up with your office. I know you have a website. If there are ways that people want to kind of get a idea on all of these different things, kind of talk about how they can connect with you.
People should go to our website, which is sos.nebraska.gov, sos.nebraska.gov. And all of the information that I've been talking about here today and much more can be found on that website. So I would invite your listeners to go check it out.
All right. Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Safe travels to your next stop.
Thanks.
That was Secretary of State Bob Evnen on KCNI Public Affairs.